This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
This week on the JBTV podcast, a new band that's really been around, and they were discovered in all kinds of different places, but the best place is in your head, listening to their music, because they are so good. They're so inspirational. Right now, they're saving lives at this very moment, taking people from the lowest lows to the highest highs, and it's an important thing you're doing. It's a pleasure having you guys here at JBTV.
Thank you so much for having us. It's an honor.
Welcome to the JBTV podcast. Each and every show is dedicated to great music lovers. And on this edition of our JBTV podcast, we are featuring a brand new band. Are you ready? The podcast starts right here, right now.
New music now.
So welcome to JBTV.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having such big stars because, you know, you guys were discovered, what, on that X Factor show or whatever?
Yeah. X Factor 2012. Yeah.
Long time ago.
Yeah, and I remember watching the clip of that.
You sure you want to do an original song?
I'm absolutely sure.
You sure?
They were really trying to freak us out, I think, and they were like, I think they get a lot of people that try to do their own songs, and their own songs are not great, because I honestly, when you first start out, like, the songs you write are usually not great. I mean, I personally have written some terrible songs. The early stuff, like from back in the day, you don't want to hear that.
Some of it's good, some of it is terrible.
Oh, well, wait, they're all going to be hits now. Watch out.
No, I hope so. That'd be awesome. But yeah, I get what they're going for. But yeah, I think they really hype it up for the TV too.
Yeah. And they want to cause drama and stuff,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
But you weren't going to have any part of it.
No.
Was that your first big TV thing?
So, no, actually. We had auditioned for America's Got Talent and failed miserably. And Howard Stern told us to quit music. And it was a big
setback.
Setback for us. That was like a year prior, right? To that.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. We didn't want to do X Factor after that because...
Yeah,
we were like, no, that was like the worst thing ever.
Yeah, so it was a weird thing where we tried out for America's Got Talent, failed miserably, That didn't air at all, thank God, because it was horrible. But
it was because you did a cover song, right?
It actually was. Yeah, it was. We did a cover of Maroon 5's This Love, which is funny because we then did a YouTube cover of it, which got X Factor's attention. And they reached out to us and we're like, will you guys come on the X Factor? You can just go straight on stage and go in front of Simon Cowell and stuff. But we actually had 5 band members at the time and they asked for just the 3 of us.
Well, that's good because now the name works perfectly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And we were still like, we had just gotten the name too. So it worked out really well.
Good, good. Because, you know, but to do that, now you started out playing underneath a pier or something, doing like, you know,
we
need you know, give us a couple of bucks and we'll play a song.
Yeah, some panhandling. Drew was doing quite a bit of that when we were in Huntington Beach.
Oh yeah, it was fun. Just go hang out by the beach, talk to girls, play songs. Yeah. You know,
dude, it was a great adventure starter. We would end up like drinking with them and partying the rest of the night and meeting girls, and it was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, the good old days.
Yeah.
The good old days. No COVID. You didn't have to wear a mask. Free love, whatever's going on, you know.
Free love. Baby. Yeah, that's like
summer of love.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that those are the times you sort of remember that make you guys, you know, because you got to win over people that could care less as they're walking by.
Of course. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And that's like, that's hard to do. I mean, it's pretty rough. Like, people don't give you the time of day and like, it's
it actually makes playing like shows in front of fans easy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. Once you get a crowd of people who already know your songs and are there for you, it's such like an.
And you've been awesome playing experience. Some big crowds after the after you got discovered with that X show.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's been great.
So how was that first experience in front of a gigantic crowd?
Let's see, like the first
pretty overwhelming.
Yeah.
Drew was like singing like an octave higher than he's
I was just
to
yelling
like
into the mic. Like,
yeah. There's a lot of
yelling.
Yeah. it was crazy. It's so fun.
Yeah, the rush from that is just nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's the experience. And you've toured with some really big bands now, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out, you think these big stars are going to have egos or whatever. They were pretty good, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dude, Ed Sheeran,
all the people we've toured with or met in passing, like, they're all amazing. I think that's, like, key to, you know, making it in this business is, like, there's just no time for bullshit or being an asshole, you know? Like, it just, like, you can't.
Word get around so fast.
Yeah, it gets around so quick, and no one's going to deal with it. It's like...
Yeah. Well, you know, the old days, the bands could, like, destroy their rooms and stuff.
It's not like that.
And they thought that
like
was that. Cool. Like, people would be like, dude, yeah, they trashed the room.
They almost liked it. Now, if you do that, they're like, you're never playing at this venue ever again.
Yeah, you won't get
and
asked
I'm
back.
Telling all the promoters I know that you guys are pieces of shit.
Yeah. Like, we actually had a food fight in one listen. Of ours once, and we got reamed out.
Oh, wow. And you had to pay for it, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
big cleaning.
That food fight with $20 worth of food cost you $5,000 in cleanup.
Honestly, though, it was pretty fun.
It was pretty worth it, man.
We had a Nerf war.
Yeah. It's crazy.
You know, but now, have you been documenting all your stuff as you go?
Yeah. I'm actually uploading like 400 videos just from this tour, and it's taken 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how when you shoot high quality 4K footage, how it takes up so much space.
You obviously know with your stuff.
Oh my God, yes.
I'm going to have to get more too. I mean, I'm running out already.
Yeah. I have over a petabyte of storage here. And I don't, and then
that
I've got
1,000 terabytes? 100 terabytes?
I don't have a clue. I mean,
I think it's 1,000 terabytes.
It's quite a bit. All I know is I'm transferring some files now and it says like 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And you go, well, I need them like now.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and we have like hotspot Wi-Fi in the van. So it was like, it really took 2 days. Like when it started out, it was like 6 days or something. And I was like, okay. And then it's still going. It's been 2 days.
Wow. See, that's the stuff that, you know. And you've been doing some high quality videos too. You haven't been just throwing stuff together with random footage and everything.
Right. Yeah. We have a tour photographer / video person on the tour, so it's been really cool.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So every little moment, see, you're getting documented.
Yeah, it's important because I mean everything goes so fast when you're on tour too. Like, it's really easy to miss things, and it's just like you're doing everything, and then you're on stage, and then you're off stage, and then you're in the next city, and then you're doing it again. And it's just, it's so fast paced.
It's a perfect way to look back. I mean, the stuff that we filmed, you know, over the last like 5-6 years, we still look back at those videos, and it's just like, wow, you get to relive it.
Even just for like sentimental purposes, you know, you're like, damn, I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah, 50 years old, hopefully still be able to see those on YouTube and whatever, you know.
And of course, for the fans that can't, you know, come out, whether they can't because of COVID or whatever it is going on, like they'll get to, you know, experience a little bit online. And we're actually doing a live stream concert after this for any of the fans that couldn't come out. It'll be with a company called No Cap. We actually did it at the Roxy. It's gonna be really cool. So yeah, we're excited.
That's a historical venue for us, because that was actually the first show that we played after X Factor was at the Roxy in LA. Yeah. And legendary. It was epic. It was. We sold it out in less than 30 seconds. Like, it went live and then it was done. And no tickets were allowed, and people were like refreshing, like, what? What? It was so cool.
Well, that's good. That shows that your music is catching on and it's changing people's lives. Have people come up to you now and said, your song?
Oh, yeah.
Did something.
Yeah. Yeah. We have everything, fans with lyrics tattooed on them, like, you know, dozens of so situations. Many.
Actually,
like
we just
that.
Did another. This tour, we just had somebody write out a tattoo for herself, and she got it.
I've had so many people come up on this tour, especially, and just been like, your music has really helped me through some dark times, and you know, this past year has been really, really rough, and just, it's been really great to have your music. So,
oh my gosh,
that's
yeah.
like the biggest honor.
This one girl who came to our meet and greet on this tour told me a whole story about how it's just completely made her like grow and come out of her shell and change as a person completely. Actually, she was like shy and struggling with anxiety, and now she's graduated college and got her dream job and everything. Literally because of our songs and our just like mentality of life. Yeah.
That's so cool. I love that.
Yeah. Now, before the pandemic, you had your tour planned.
Oh, yeah.
You had all this excitement. So you're getting all excited for it. You're doing your rehearsals and all this.
Yeah.
And then everything gets canceled.
Yeah.
That must have been like...
Luckily, it was like 2-3 weeks before we announced it.
It would have been a really big bummer if we had announced it. But I think on the bright side of that, we didn't have a lot of music written and recorded yet.
We just
had a couple songs. And then, so once the tour was canceled, we were like, let's just go in the studio, hang out, write, see what happens. And so now we have like a full length album's worth of music that we're putting together and getting going. So it wasn't totally bad. And now it's been great to come back out and do this little tour we're on now to get back into the groove and then, you know, keep it going from here.
Yeah, I know time. After 37 years, I can't remember some of the bands I've done.
Yeah, you
know?
I can't remember anything.
Wall of people is just so impressive.
Well, we've had some of the biggest and best, and I like getting the bands at the beginning,
because
it means so much then to them. You know, because you can have all the great music, and until you were discovered,
right,
you were just doing great music,
right?
Yeah.
And then to be able to get it out there. And there's so many frustrated musicians.
Oh my God.
That are throughout the entire world that are just like sitting there going, I have this music, but I have to do my 9-to-5 job.
Right.
Of course. I feel for them. We were there early on.
What odd jobs did you guys have before all this stardom?
Me and Drew were telemarketers for a little bit.
He was working at Subway.
Dishwashers.
I was young enough. I was still in school, so I never had to get a job.
My greatest regular job was guitar teching for a local bar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right. So I would set up all the gear for people, the bands that would come in and play throughout.
Is that the bar you ended up singing at?
Yeah, I ended up then being the lead singer of a cover band called The Thugs at this bar.
They were pretty sick. Yeah, it was
and
pretty crazy.
It was like a 90s rock
90s cover, tribute band. Yeah. Yeah. It's like Rage Against the Machine. Freaking.
See, that shows your musical influences, because you guys are taking the best of all the different genres and mixing them all together.
Yes.
And it is so exciting, because right now, in this time, that's the way music is perfect. You know?
Right, yeah.
Because people never really had, that used to be, you had to be this format.
Right.
Yeah,
the genre thing has just kind of gone out the window. It's kind of just whatever feels good. I think it's really cool when you get multiple people together in a band setting, because each individual person has their own style of music that they gravitate towards or whatever. So yeah, when you get everyone together and on the same page, it can create something completely new that you might not have heard before in that, you know, specific way. So
that's amazing. Now, you, one of your first singles was Chloe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's true.
Was that a real girl that you knew, or?
Kind of, yeah. It was pretty much about the Kardashians.
Have you ever heard of Khloe Kardashian?
Yeah. No, is that some?
Yeah, we tried to say it wasn't about that because we thought it was too cheesy at the time, but it pretty much was. Uh-huh. We didn't want it to be so tied to that too, because I feel like, you know, we didn't want it to be like locked into like just being about Khloe Kardashian.
Probably
should
have just owned it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, yeah, but it literally is. Yeah.
Well, it's good to have mystery.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, that's probably better because otherwise, you know, now they'll still be talking about it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, what was it, E! News or someone? Like one of the press
outlets. Didn't Kim Kardashian Instagram post it or something?
Yeah, yeah. No, just recently, during COVID, posted a clip with Khloe and doing some drama for their new season. And it had Chloe, our song, playing in the background.
Yeah.
And it got like, I don't even know how many million. Actually, it was millions of streams. It was
so funny. I love that.
It's so exciting to see the numbers go up like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm on the opposite end of the numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you know about JBTV. Have you heard about our show before? Or?
I actually haven't.
Yeah.
This is our first time hearing about it. But.
Yeah, we were, for 37 years I've been doing it and helping all the bands, like, you know, Smashing Pumpkins. And,
yeah, hell yeah.
You know, we had the Ramones on, Joey Ramone.
What the heck,
yeah.
Bro.
Wow. He sounded so much. Talk about Howard Stern, who dissed you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does he know? He only makes $100 million a year.
Right,
but, you know.
Screw that.
Yeah, because at the time, Joey Ramone and Howard Stern sounded so much alike.
Right, yeah.
You know, I told Joey, so, you know, Howard stole your whole stick.
Yeah.
Your
whole persona.
Yeah. So when you're in New York a lot, have you been on Howard Stern show?
Yeah, but not recently, you know. Yeah, but...
Because,
well, yeah.
You know, I got to say, I think he stole some of your techniques.
He ripped me off.
He really did.
He ripped me off, and I'm going to sue him for big bucks.
Because, you know, he always says how everybody else rips him off.
Right.
And, you know, after listening to you over the years now, and I go, you know, the whole thing came from you, so.
I know. I mean, I think I have a case here, and I'm suing him for every dime he's got.
Mm-hmm.
He's been ripping me off for too many years now, and I'm sick of it. I've had enough.
I agree.
I wash my hands of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he even took your idea of running for the governor or something, didn't he?
I don't know. What is this? What's this world coming to?
Yeah.
Wow. Shit.
He sounded so much. Talk about Howard Stern, who dissed you guys.
Yeah,
he really did.
I think more than, like, upset at us, he was disappointed.
Yeah.
Because he saw the potential. And it really wasn't even our fault. It was the sound technicians didn't know how to capture, like... They weren't prepared for the whole band setup.
Yeah. We didn't even have a real drummer. We had a guy who did percussion, and he had like tambourine on his foot.
Uh-huh. They had none of the right equipment, so this drummer couldn't hear us at all, and then he lost timing, and then Howard was just like, that sucked. I totally went out on a limb and flew you guys to St. Louis because I believed in you, and I was losing sleep over you guys, and you just blew it. And we're like, dude, we actually are good. Yeah. We just literally cannot hear one another at all.
Yeah. Yeah, America's Got Talent is definitely not set up for musicians.
No.
The technical side is.
Honestly, I'm glad that situation worked out. America's Got Talent's kind of wonky anyway.
For like freaking juggling and like
it's a talent show. It's not just for musicians. So
like the old Ed Sullivan show, which I'm sure you remember.
That's what like Beatles blew up on, right?
A lot. I mean,
yeah.
Well,
that was the thing on Sunday nights. Back then, I grew up in the 50s. I'm an old man, you know. But literally, people would watch TV just to see that. And everybody would, like Saturday nights, because Saturday Night Live and all these different programs that weren't repeated, like Seinfeld and all this stuff. It wasn't like it is now where it's like on all the time.
Of course, they played it.
You gotta catch it.
Yeah, appointment television.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So how was it when you first heard your stuff on the radio?
Oh, it was crazy. I think we were in a
Sprinter van.
Yeah, we were in a van.
And it was like, Blade WXYZ 235.
Kiss FM.
And we got Emblem 3, new single.
Chloe.
Yeah.
Dan, 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 dan. We're like, woo.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Did you stop in the middle of the street and turn it up loud?
Yeah, pretty much.
Dude,
yeah.
We were just
jumping around in the van.
That van was like
good
rocking.
Thing someone else was driving.
All freaking crazy teenagers.
See, that shows, and that's right then you go, we've made it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You've been on all these big TV things, and
sure.
The radio really helps.
It's crazy how much radio's still going, and it's still alive. Everyone wants to say that, like, oh, it's dead and streaming's taken over, but like, people still find their music from the radio. Whenever I get in my car, sometimes I'll plug in my phone and go to Spotify or whatever, but a lot of the times I'll just leave it on, you know, rock radio or whatever's going, and I just listen to that because I like to hear what's new.
If you can get on top 40, you're pretty much huge.
That's super validating.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem with radio is they consolidated all these radio stations.
Yeah.
So you've got like a Ryan Seacrest that's on 100 stations. So you go from city to city. But in the early days of radio, or the, you know, even the more adventurous stations, you could hear the feel for the city.
Right.
You'd hear local bands.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. Yeah. And that was so important to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, because. Yeah. Well, it developed talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You nailed it. Yeah. They consolidated it. There's like people that own, like you said, hundreds of channels and they all broadcast similar, same stuff.
Yeah. I like, I think K Rock in LA does it where they do like a local hour every week. And
that's cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So I like to listen to that kind of stuff.
Oh, you were on the Ryan Seacrest show, weren't you?
Yeah.
You did a performance in the small studio.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. That was fun. On Air with Ryan.
Is that a Detroit Rock City, the movie where they like hijack the radio station until they like play the band's record and they end up blowing up from that, and like the girl, they get a whole
crowd. So dope.
Maybe we need to do that.
We need to do a stunt like that, bro. Yeah.
Well, that could be your next video.
that's actually a great freaking idea.
That's a really cool music video.
You know, we're sick of this. We've been on Spotify, SiriusXM, and all these different platforms, but we want a radio station.
That's so cool.
Do it with actual guns.
Well, we're not going to do that. That's way too intense.
That's a little extreme.
Emblem 3 was murdered today. The police took over. It was crazy. SWAT teams.
Ended in a shootout. No.
Oh my God.
Would make a cool music video, though.
That would be a great music video.
Yeah. And then the crowd, forms.
Or what is it? What's the other one? Tower Records, that movie where they just throw down. It's like a bunch of people that work at a tower, a record store, and they just have a crazy adventure.
That would
be a great theme for a music video too. Just like the nostalgia.
What's the plot?
Yeah,
I don't know. It could just be us in an old vintage record store just partying.
Because
having a concert.
The people at these record stores, the employees back in the day, knew the music.
Right.
And they would see you're interested in this. Well, here, why don't you look at this?
Yeah, yeah. Right. They would actually
and
shop it to you.
They would put it on in the store so you could hear it.
Yeah,
and that's so cool. I wish that had still happened, man.
Yeah, everything
old is coming back. So
exactly.
Yeah, our dad actually worked at.
Yeah, our dad worked at Atari Records.
Oh, really?
Back in the day. Yeah, he's a film composer now, but when he was our age, he was in Atari Records out in L.A.
So when did you first get into music?
We've been doing it since we were little kids. I mean, we started our first band between the three of us when we were I was 9 years old, I think, and I was playing bass, and he was 13 or 12. And,
I was 11 or 12. I was 11.
And we went through 1,000 different band names, different kinds of music. I wasn't in it for a while.
Yeah, at one point we're Icon 5.
He was... yeah. He went solo for a minute when he was 16. So we've been through a lot of crazy shit. And then ended in Emblem 3, 2012.
Wow. Where'd you come up with that? Just because of the three of you and you got rid of the other guys?
We were playing Xbox.
We played a really bad show.
Yes.
And then
the worst show
was you guys
ever.
Suck.
I went to the show and I walked out because
he refused to be in the band because he knew already we sucked.
Yeah, they were so bad.
We kicked out our other performer because he was super high on multiple things.
Yeah.
And just terrible performance.
And I was just blatantly real with them and said that was the worst performance I've ever seen. And they knew it. And
our parents walked up to us after and just shook their
heads. It was rough. We're not really supporting you guys anymore. Yeah. And then So we went back with our tails between our legs and we're like, all right, dude, this is serious. We just failed in front of everyone that believes in us big time. And all right, we need a rebrand. We're kicking out this guy. And we need something new. We need like an icon. So something that's like an emblem. And then he wrote emblem on the wall.
Yeah. And we're like, and whoa. He's like,
wait, what if that's just the band name?
And that looks really cool because, like, I don't know, the way the letters are, it's like you got two M's, you got two E's.
Yeah, kind of the three E's.
Oh, and then you throw the three at the other side, and it's like...
Emblem was already a band.
Yeah, just Emblem was taken. We looked it up immediately, and it was like some...
Just about all the good names are taken.
Yeah. It was a publishing company like we called Emblem Music. We probably could have gotten away with it, but like...
Yeah, but if you blow up, I mean, y'all heard the story of One Direction. They had to pay $1 million to that one group because that
really?
Was someone else.
Yeah. They had to buy up the
What?
That's the thing. You get a hit song, and then those people start emailing you like, hey, you have to take down that because that's ours.
Well, everybody comes out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
This one song that you did, I wrote that, you know, 100 years ago.
Oh, my God. We had a friend. Dude, we have a friend who just like he's
dude,
a
goes around our
liar.
Hometown and like tells everyone like I wrote that they stole that from me and we're like dude no you fucking didn't
he wasn't even
you
in the same
didn't.
State as us
like you definitely didn't this,
and crazy shit, dude but he's a compulsive liar he used to come up to me and be like yeah I totally hooked up with her. And it'd be like a girl who's, and I'd go and ask her like, yo, so you hooked up with him? And she'd be like,
no, I've never talked to him in my entire life.
I don't understand how people could do that. I don't,
it's like, literally a mental disorder. I think it's actually like something
I brought it up to his parents and they just don't even know what to say.
I will say
though. They're like,
they know. Yeah. I will say this weird time in my life when I was like 14-ish, 15 around there, I had to live in a trailer park, in Seattle area. For a couple months, and there was this guy that would go around the trailer park. He's probably like 60, and you could tell he just been around the block. And he would tell everyone, I wrote Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. I wrote it everywhere. That's all he would ever say. And there's an interview of Kurt Cobain, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, no.
Saying, I don't even remember who wrote that. Some like random dude I was hanging out with one night gave me the idea for that. And like, whoa. And I'm like, wait, was that the guy that actually wrote
also,
the biggest song
in
ever?
In the Nirvana documentary, they're like, I don't even know why people like it so much. We literally just stole the chords from this other song. And it's like the exact same song. Wow. Yeah, so I don't know.
Maybe you met the real writer of Smells Like Teen Spirit in a trailer park in Seattle.
Park
I mean, they are from Seattle, so it makes sense, man. That's crazy.
Dude, they're only like a couple miles away from like our old...
Aberdeen,
Yeah, wow.
They turned his house this summer officially into like a historical monument, and you can like go
half
inside.
Half of our family
it.
Lived in Washington. That's actually how we met Drew. It's like we lived in California, we moved to Washington, we met Drew, and so right next to the spot in Washington where we lived, that's where like Nirvana came out of.
Nirvana,
too.
Soundgarden, Pearl Jam,
yeah.
Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
A lot of the grunge scene. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, it was known for that.
Yeah.
And the flannel shirts.
Yeah.
Wait, we're not wearing
any flannel. I almost wore my flannel shirt today.
Really? Oh, this would have been a perfect day for flannel.
Yeah. Not outside.
It's hot out, man.
Dude,
I thought Chicago was like supposed to be cold. I forgot that it gets crazy.
It gets cold in the winter.
I think last time we were here both times it was winter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, Chicago's all over the place. Like today it can be 100 and tomorrow it'll be 50.
Wow.
Because we got the lake.
Yeah.
And the lake changes everything. It's like when you're out on the coast there, when you're playing on the beach, the cool breeze would come in.
Is it true that lake is so big that it has swells?
You can surf Lake Ontario, I think. One of my friends does.
Can
I forget
you
which
surf
one.
That lake?
Yeah, they're 100-foot waves.
Shut the hell up.
No, I've seen some like 5-footers.
They're Someone making a movie about
that,
it.
And I'm like...
No, I'm serious. My homie James that I met in Costa Rica.
No, Lake Ontario. Okay, but what about Lake Michigan?
When it's really windy and crummy, but yeah.
The
you
one
know.
That faces Lake Toronto is that one? No,
I don't know.
I will say I was here.
Is that a lake?
I was here in 2019 when that huge cold storm came through,
uh-huh.
And it was crazy. The wind, it was like. I don't know. I don't remember what the wind chill was. It was
It's terrible, though. Wind chill is the worst.
Oh, it's got to be my least favorite weather condition.
Yeah, it was.
Well, there goes your Antarctica tour.
Yeah. That's like Lorde just did.
Group of penguins.
Have you seen that?
No.
The artist Lorde, she just went down to Antarctica like for 2 years or something. Wow. And then
just lived and chilled.
Lived with penguins.
Now she's writing songs about the sun, which is awesome.
I want sun.
Yeah, literally.
She really did that?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And it's like hard to get down there because it's, And so she
She just was like, all right, I made it. I'm one of the biggest artists in the world. I'm super rich. I want to live in Antarctica.
Yeah, she just wanted to experience learn about global warming and stuff. And then she came back and she's like, I hate the winter. I hate the cold. And then just singing about the sun and stuff.
Wow, that's badass.
That's amazing.
Man. All right, what are we going to do?
Dude, we're going to go walk across Antarctica.
What?
Have you ever seen the people that do that?
No.
Dude, they barely ever make it. And if they do, they say that you're just weeping, crying the whole time because you're so alone. And you're just like, that's the point, though. It's like facing the abyss. Yeah. And just trudging.
Well, with
on
global warming, it's going to be the new Hawaii.
Yeah, we'll all be going down there to hang out and have a good time, catch some waves.
And she's going to have all this land that she bought.
Yeah. And Lorde's going to be the
I got it for like $50.
Yeah, exactly. That's what she was really doing down there.
Land grabbing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, they did in California in the early days. Right. You know. Yeah,
exactly. Oh my gosh, dude! I was thinking about that. The people that did that in California are so rich.
And in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I remember a friend of mine bought for $60,000, overlooked everything, and he sold it for like $3 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it was a dump.
The land is
the view.
But the view.
You know, but that happens all over the place. You know, it's like even in Chicago here, when I first moved downtown, not many people wanted to live downtown in a high rise.
Right.
And it was like you'd see the lake and everything. Now it's all buildings.
All you want is that high rise apartment.
It's so a shame, too, with this pandemic. There are so many classic places that aren't in business anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And you see all these vacant signs, and the landlords cannot wait to rip it all apart and put all the love and care that went into that place. They just tear it down.
Yeah.
They don't care. It's really a shame.
We're seeing that in LA a lot too. Just like the local spots are just getting destroyed right now. And I have a couple of coffee shops that I really love that I'm like just trying to go to support as much as possible. Cause like realistically if they don't make it, it's just going to become a Starbucks or a, you know,
it's going to be up to music.
The big James.
And your musicians.
Yep.
We
to save these places.
Exactly.
We must
write a song and save the world.
Music is the weapon of the future.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's really cool about music? It's the universal language. Yes. From the rightest of the right to the leftest of the left and everything in between.
That's right.
Everybody can relate to these different songs.
Yes.
And that's what brings people together. So that's why music is so therapeutic. Mm-hmm. And as you already know, because you're saving lives right away, you know, now.
Yeah, absolutely. Our mom always used to tell us that the universal language when we were just growing up, and it was just like, it really is. Everybody, as soon as
what
you put
would
on
she
a,
say,
a song with our, a good beat, you can dance to
our
it.
Our mission statement was to heal broken hearts and free the oppressed or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's freaking powerful.
There's another lyric for a song.
Yeah,
I think it's a Bible verse, actually. Their mom said, brought that to the table.
Yeah. So when your parents were doing composing, was just your father?
It's my mom, too, actually.
Oh, really?
Our mom,
actually, that's how they met. My mom and him were both going for the same film in college. And
what film was that?
What's the name of it? Something with the flies. It's not
Lord of the Flies.
Not Lord of the Flies. It was I can't remember the name right now. But my mom ended up actually getting it, which is ironic because my dad is now doing film composing full time.
Has he done some major films?
He's done some pretty big stuff. He did Starship Troopers 2, second movie. That was really cool. And really great.
His company, though, I mean, besides, like, he works on like so many films, doing like all sorts of, you know, studio work and recording people and conducting and stuff. Like, I mean, he's working on Fast and the Furious and all that stuff right now.
Like, yeah, and he also has a record label that he started where they re-record old film scores with high quality big orchestras. And so that's really cool, and a lot of people really love what he does with that, and he conducts it and all that.
Wow, too. It's so important.
Yeah, it is. It
because
really is.
If you got the best film, the soundtrack, and it's like there, but you don't really notice it, but it's there when you you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So he's doing a lot of the films from like the way back from the 30s, 40s, where like, you know, the sound recordings just weren't great at the time, and like, you know, bringing those to life with modern.
He's got a total cult following too. They'll freak out over him like as if they're like the girls do with us.
A real fan base. It's really cool.
Well, that shows you. Now, are you guys going to start doing film?
I just did a short film.
Yeah.
It's called Touched. It's going to be in a film festival in October.
Wow. Did you act in it?
I didn't act in it. Just did the film score. Uh-huh. So
I was in a movie once.
He was in a movie.
What movie was that?
It's called Ice Cream in the Cupboard.
Uh-huh.
And I play the boyfriend, and I literally just go like, yeah, babe, no, let's go to Hawaii and like go hike. That's all I said.
Nice.
I nailed it.
Wow, I think you're going somewhere with that one.
Dude, everyone was like, bro, you did so good in that movie.
It was only 3 seconds, but it was great.
Yeah. That's what the girls always say to me.
Nice.
So we have some more songs of yours that we can play.
Yeah
Like was it The End of the Summer? What's the name of that one?
End of the Summer. Yeah,
End of Summer. I'll pick you up, girl, and there'll never be another. I'm gonna make you mine by the end of the summer. Summer. End of Summer. Yeah, tell us about that one.
That one was
because that's where sort of we are right now.
I know. Yeah,
it's really a shame because, you know, it's spring and you look forward to summer. And when you were younger, summer, like I was younger, it like summer took forever, didn't it?
Oh yeah.
Now it's like, wait, it's over.
Yeah. It literally like
I feel like summer
goes.
Never happened this year. Yeah, like
it's so weird.
It was hot, but like nothing was happening. Like no one did anything. Did we even do anything fun?
I had the fucking best summer ever, bro.
Oh, you've been at the lake all summer, bro. Yeah, okay. You're in a different boat there.
Yeah.
Do you have a boat and stuff?
I have friends that have boats and stuff. And
yeah,
it's summer's treated me very well.
Well, that's good. Yeah. You know, you got to take advantage of this stuff while you can. You know, because the older you get, you're going to be doing more and more work. You're going to be composing films, taking over what your father
did.
You know, well, that's so inspirational. Like when you said your parents were making music and stuff, my aunt and uncle were Fleece and Bootle O'Brien, they did all the Everly Brothers songs.
Wow.
And I remember they'd come over late at night and they'd smoke pot and they'd be playing their guitars and stuff. And it was so inspirational to hear that.
Of course.
You know? Yeah. And of course, then there's parts of the family, like my parents were going, they should get real jobs and they stay up all night. And all they want to do is like, but they met because of music the same way your parents did.
Wow.
It just shows you how important music is in people's lives.
Yeah,
you
know? It really is. I mean, for me personally too, I mean, I would always turn to music if I was having a rough time, bad day, or a good time, having a great day. Yeah. Always music.
There's something for every moment that's going on, you know.
So how do you guys write your songs?
Let's see. It kind of happens differently with every song. We sometimes it's all three of us in the room. Sometimes one of us will bring an idea to the table, and then the others just kind of jump in. Some songs are fully written by one of us, and then the others just, you know, sing it and fill in. So
do you jam a lot? Like just down and just like screw around and ad lib.
Last year we jammed a lot more.
Yeah. Do you tape those?
Feeling like a great band. Yeah. We've been
recording some of that.
And that is where I find that the most fun.
Yeah, we actually have our most recent single, Eyes Wide Open, was the last song that we wrote together recently. And it was super fun. We just got in the studio, started messing around, jamming on chords. Wes was playing drums. And it kind of just fell together like super quick and natural. And, it was really cool. Just like all three of us in the room going for 5 or 6 hours and then the song was done. Never let the feeling die.
Gotta keep my eyes wide open. How many instruments do you all play?
A lot.
We all can kind of play just the basic, like drums, bass, guitar, piano.
Keaton shreds piano. For sure, too. And
I also produce the music. engineer and produce. We all kind of produce it together. But
do you have your own studio?
Yeah. Yeah. Out in LA, I've got my own studio.
What kind of equipment do you have? It's all...
Lots of just like analog equipment. I have an Apollo interface that I love, and like some hardware that I use, and a Manly microphone that I use for our recordings, for our vocals. And,
have you gotten any sponsors for that yet? Like microphone sponsors?
Actually Lewitt microphones. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're an Austrian company.
They love Lewitt.
So awesome. Lewitt is amazing.
See, now this is good. So that,
look,
we mentioned your microphones that no one's heard of.
Bro, I will praise Lewitt.
And it's
forever.
Amazing how some of these products are like, I remember when Neumann came out, sort of, you know, and then like my mic here is a Sennheiser.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like, well, those are Shure's over there, but you and I are on Sennheisers.
The Sennheisers are amazing.
And these are 30-year-old microphones. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Nice. These are the classics.
Yeah. There's something, you know, I went to first Lollapalooza with these.
Really?
No, yeah. And wow. I'm like talking, and you know how you get at a festival and you're like a foot away? I can't hear anything these people are saying.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I came back, and with these mics, it sounded like nobody was there, I had a hearing problem.
Wow. That's amazing. You know?
So.
That's so, yeah, no, it's so important. And yeah, Lewitt, I actually found out about them from a producer we were working with, who did all like the One Direction stuff. And it's just they're so amazing, and they've been really great. And
that's one of the best.
I actually have a microphone that I love from them that is not working currently.
Uh-oh.
One of the tube just went out in it, so I got to get a new one.
Now, do you carry your own mics on tour?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because you got to be, you know, you don't want to be using somebody else's mic. You know, when you first started out, right?
You're like,
what is this?
Yeah, exactly.
Keaton's always decking out the mics.
I've got our whole system. I'm bringing a whole X32 rig with our in-ear monitor system, and I've got a full-on gear setup. So.
See, you realize how monitors are so important after that crappy show where you couldn't hear anything.
Yep. Yeah.
And Howard Stern's going,
Sound,
getting the sound right is so
it means so much. You know, and a lot of times when you're open for other bands, they don't care about your sound.
Oh, of course.
It's all about the main band.
Right.
You know?
That's why that's why we have Keaton. We don't worry.
And honestly,
that's
why we travel with everything we need. We travel with every microphone we need, all the cables we need.
And extra too.
So and extra, of course. Yeah. And the whole system.
Are you recording your live performances too?
We actually are not. We should be.
You should start doing that.
I have full capability to.
And multi-track it so you got it all.
Yeah.
And then you're going to find that you could put out an album of just live material. Here we are at the whatever in whatever city.
You know what?
Yeah,
we should actually do that. I only have one laptop with me that's running our tracks right now. So
normally
we'd
have two in case one kicks off.
Well, you should have three laptops.
Yeah.
One for a backup.
Yep.
And then the one to record.
Yeah, and the one for track.
So you have three that can rotate.
Yeah, yes. That's really like the best case.
Especially, you know, bands that go out where all your tracks are on the one computer.
Oh, yeah.
And it's in sound check, everything's working great. And then you get to the show and it go,
yeah, that's always the worst. We try to be, you know, prepared enough to it. If that did happen, we would be okay because we're still rocking amps and a drum kit up there.
Yeah.
So
worst case, we could still just play the show.
Yeah, worst case, we could still go old school, just drums, bass, guitar. You know,
I remember we were at the Metro, and I think it was Stabbing Westward we had on our show.
Oh, yeah.
And the power went out.
Oh, man.
Yet they kept going.
Oh, really?
In the dark. And it was so cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So the amps were still working, but the lights went out? Or
no, probably just acoustic,
power,
right?
So it was like acoustic.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
That's so cool. Yeah. I mean, honestly, if that happened to us, we'd probably do the same thing.
Yeah,
we would. Grab an acoustic guitar and just jam.
You should plan that in the show, a fake power outage.
That would actually be super cool.
Whoa.
Everyone would freak out and just flip the breaker, just turn everything off.
And have some weird guy wander around just as a prop. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. It's like trying to fix things.
This
like,
is Howard Stern Jr. here.
Howard Stern Jr. Yeah.
And he's doing our sound and working on the lights and stuff, you know?
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. So, well, that's good. I'm glad you're doing all this. Now you have one more song, another video. Well, you have so many songs. So.
Yeah.
It's what's 1,000 miles is called?
Oh, 3,000 miles.
3,000 miles, yeah.
Dreaming of a place that's 3,000 miles away. Feels like it's forever. Seems like yesterday.
Yeah, that's our ballad song.
That's one where all the people put the lighters.
The phone light up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot.
Lighters. Yeah,
it's the phone lights.
Every once in a while, you'll still see a lighter come out during that song, which is really cool. And like, Yeah. Honestly, it gives such a nicer feeling with the lighter because it's that warm yellow light, not the bright white.
But it gets so hot on your fingers.
Yeah, yeah. Now people are burning themselves. It's dangerous. Yeah.
And all that butane and stuff in there is, you know, it can get in your lungs.
Probably not great. Yeah.
It's a liability.
But yeah, that always goes over really well with the fans. And it's a nice moment during the set, too.
That's a special song. Yeah.
Wow. This is so much fun. You having fun here?
Yeah, this is amazing.
This is great.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, I just talk and, you know, do my thing. I don't like doing... I hate when you got the host that got the questions. Have you had some of that
already?
Dude,
we were just talking about this with another interviewer. Yeah,
have you heard of the Frickin' Frack Show?
No.
They're
the
like,
Frickin' Frack Show. Frickin' Frack Show.
They're like a new... They're a new, newer interview duo that just started up. But they were so cool because we had an hour long and we just hung out. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any, they had like a couple planned questions that they did want to ask, but they weren't like the normal, oh, what's your favorite color? Or, you know,
who's your celebrity secret?
Yeah. Who's your celebrity crush or what, you know, like there's always like the generic, you know,
it's questions. Nice when they can be able to just riff and like naturally go with the flow. Some people don't have that talent and they need the questions for structure and direction.
Right. Yeah, and I get that. But it's always like it's nice if, you know, they dig deeper and try to find questions that are a little more exciting and
instead of like Drew, will you lift your shirt up for us?
Yeah. Every once in a while we get one of those.
Dude, like, we used to have that
every time. And like it was like funny at first, but then after like a year and a half of that type of stuff, you're like, all right, this is driving me crazy.
We don't
like,
do porn anymore.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We don't need to do that anymore.
That's on our OnlyFans. No, but it's also like if you asked a random person to do that, that'd be so uncomfortable. Like,
yeah.
You just went up to someone and was like, will you lift your shirt up? That'd be so weird.
Yeah, that is really weird.
And but yeah, it's nice to just be able to hang and.
Although I got in trouble for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. At Lollapalooza, I'd be shooting the camera and these girls were like,
You know, flashing the camera.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, and then all of a sudden, all these guys, ooh, you know.
Yeah.
And then the band got mad at us. I think it was Soul Asylum that.
Really?
Yeah. They
got mad at you for.
Get that camera guy off stage because he's the crowd, because they go JBTV.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that. Whoa. It's like, you know, we're like the stars here.
Yeah.
<you know>?
That's so funny.
But yeah, that was like crazy. I'm going like, you know, I didn't even. I'm just shooting the camera.
Right.
I do everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I like running the camera and editing and nice. Doing all the things.
That's kind of like us. Yeah, especially
multi-talented because you get all these different people doing stuff. It's better to know what's going on.
Yeah, I've learned this lesson so many times. I have people like edit videos for me or something, and I always have a million notes and stuff, and it's just like, bro, all right. Give me the footage. I'm just going to.
Oh, so you edit your own videos too?
Oh, yeah. Edit our own videos.
And you shot them really well. You like didn't do it cheap. You had a decent camera.
Yeah. We try to get the nicest, you know, equipment we can. But just trying to be as self-sufficient as possible, especially like you said, because when you do hire someone on, then you know the job's getting done correctly. You know how hard it is. So if you're paying them a decent amount of money, you know, it's worth that, you know, amount, and it's, you know, going towards the right things.
Great. Hands on. Yeah. Boy, you're
you kind of have
great.
To be. Yeah. I mean,
if you want it done the way you want it, you got to do it.
With technology, it's made it a lot easier, I think, for, you know, bands or individuals to do stuff on their own. But it's nice to be able to.
Well, I'm so impressed with you guys. You're so talented.
Yeah,
got everything
you.
Going Thanks, for God. You. Do you have any tattoos?
This guy does.
This guy's all covered Who's up.
I'm not going to ask you to show up.
Yeah. It'll go straight to it.
All right. Take it from yeah, man. Got a bunch of tattoos. Some of them are good. Some of them are really, really bad.
Like done in
not
the
Not really any in between either. They're either like really good or really complete good. Shit.
Yeah. Well, it's an art in itself.
Exactly.
And you don't really know what you want until you get it. And then you realize, well, maybe I should have.
Once it's on there.
I mean, that's what's kept me from not getting it, is that there's so many stories of people going like, I wish it was a little different.
Well, especially if you put a girlfriend's name on there. Something stupid.
Yep.
And like years later, it's like, uh-oh.
I had a fan tell me the day before yesterday in D.C. that she was getting a portrait of my face on her thigh.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. She pulled up the photo and everything. It's a great picture, but it's crazy that she...
Part of me was like, do it. That's awesome. And then a part of me was like, don't actually do that.
Like, that's, are you ever going to get married or anything?
Like what is your boyfriend going to think like, when he's like
that
doing
is
things?
Terrible. Wow. That there's this dude
staring me in the eye.
Oh man.
I especially in that area.
Yeah, exactly. That's I'm like, hey dude. Like
looking straight at it.
That's some serious business right there.
That was because that's the divorce, right?
Oh man. Yeah.
I love you, dear, but that damn tattoo.
Gotta go.
Sorry, just can't have it.
That's so wow. funny.
Well, that shows you, you know, fans, they
yeah.
They take you to such an extreme. Yeah. And the same thing with your music. Like the older you get, you're going to want to change it up a little bit.
Of course.
Yeah. And then the problem is they grew up with the original version.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you're yeah, sort of
yeah.
stuck with it.
Yeah. We're actually thinking of re-recording a ton of our old stuff and, you know, like remastering it, re-putting it out. So it's, I'm curious to see how they're going to react to
the
it.
The album, Nothing to Lose. That we did with like the Columbia Records and stuff, thinking about reproducing that just like our style, because there's a lot of good songs on there that never really got the juice that they deserved.
Yeah.
And so,
it's stuck with the, you have your own record company now, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So it's like if you can't sell that, if you make it over,
right? We can kind of do it's yours.
Well, we exactly. can pretty much just play what we play in our live set.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
and just track it a few times live, and then
see that's why you got to tape live.
Over. Yeah,
you got to start doing that.
I think I'm going to start doing that. I just need to get. He has a computer on the tour with us that I could actually go.
Well, there's an Apple store down the block. So.
I know. Yeah, go pick one up.
Honestly, get a nice new one. You yeah. guys can afford it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Honestly, we might as well. I mean,
yeah.
At this point.
It would be really good to have that.
And it's so easy with the X32.
Yeah. Oh, it's so easy. Just plug it in. It's
yeah.
Recording.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wow.
And
it's awesome.
Then you got a live album.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah.
And you could feature like all these different places album. You've been throughout the world.
Yep.
And go, and here's this performance here.
From this
exclusive.
Place. Yeah.
The same thing when you go to radio and stuff. It'd probably be cool if you had one or two cuts that you could
I
just
wish
give
that
to
we
that
had
station.
Already been doing
that right. Just, for their city.
Yeah.
That's actually really smart.
Versus trying to play live in the studio and stuff, which
of course,
is, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's plan to have that done in LA.
Cool.
And
let's
then we can use some of those tracks on like the actual records, like Rush.
Well, you put out
we
an
did
album
that
with
extended
that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do the full length.
Have you
album.
Done vinyl yet?
No, so that's something we were just talking about. We really want to get a vinyl made of our new record and some of the old ones. It'd be really awesome. Yeah, because vinyl's just really coming back. These guys are in their own world over
I know
there.
They're
what's up?
You, got our mental cogs rolling.
Here. Good.
Ready to go.
Good. If I've influenced you that way, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Because it means a lot. It means a lot to your career to have this stuff.
Of course.
You can never have enough stuff.
No, yeah.
It's like when you edit a video, right? You're like going, darn, if I just had two more shots.
Yep. Yeah, that's always what happens. That's why
you got 10 hours of footage and you never have enough.
Well, and if you're tracking live, it's like the two birds with one stone thing. You're like, well, we might as well just do it here instead of in the studio.
Yeah.
You can always
overdub
too.
Yeah, re-record things if needed and, you know, tighten it up if anything goes wrong or whatever. But
plus it sells, you know, when in all these different locations you're at, it shows the historical nature of these clubs that you play at.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the time frame.
Absolutely, because
like,
a lot of those places are shutting down too. You
it's
know?
A shame.
Like out in LA, there's a place, The Satellite, that I really loved. I wanted to play it, and we never got to, and it shut down. And
House of Blues off
House
Sunset.
House of Blues off Sunset. It's
that one was like, everyone was like, wait, what?
We only
like,
played the upstairs room in that one, and we didn't get to play the main room, so I'm bummed we missed that one.
Oh, wow. That was like right... after it closed right before X Factor, like literally a week or two, like
it sucks at history.
Yeah,
no one cares.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, it's gonna be a condo now, like my studio. I used to have a studio right next door here.
Yeah,
that we could have had an actual performance with you guys.
Oh man.
And which I've done, you know, because it's so hard to go, as you know, on at a venue and shoot it.
Of course. Yeah.
The venue wants money.
Uh-huh.
You got to do 6 or 7 cameras.
Yeah, it's so complicated.
You set up at 10 in the morning, you're out at 1 at night.
I mean,
in the morning.
We just filmed a live show and it costs like 17 grand.
That's
cheap.
Yeah. That's on the desk. It's on the cheap for the crew and the cameras and everything. It's just crazy.
Yeah, that's without the cost of the venue, which was like another.
Yeah, that was with a lot of like favors.
Did you have a jib arm and stuff?
Yeah, we did.
Those mean so much. I love running a jib arm.
Oh, yeah.
Because especially if you're in the center.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get the full feel of the place.
Right, right.
And you can go low and get the audience, you know, with those shots and everything.
Exactly.
As you guys are out, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a good feeling. When you see that camera swoop in too, like, it's such a good shot.
Yeah. And you can do that now with little cameras.
Yep.
With these little handheld stabilizers.
Yeah, yeah. I actually have one. I have the Ronin stabilizer
I got the Manfrotto.
Ah, nice, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're both good.
They're both
good. The problem, though, that people do with those things is they try to do too much.
Of course, yeah.
It's
it's just good for stabilizing. That's all. You just need smooth, easy.
Slow. You don't have to be fast. Everybody thinks you're shooting. Whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
It's for specific things you might want to do that. But yeah, it's like.
You can vary speed if you need to.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
give it some more movement.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you had a chance to come down to our studio.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
My home studio in the middle of COVID. It's totally crazy.
Dude, this is awesome here.
This doesn't even look like a
house studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels so
good.
Well,
I had to do something, you know.
Nice. You got Fall Out Boy on the back there.
Yeah. We were the first to put them on TV.
Really?
Before they were signed. Like when you guys.
What?
We're doing a cover of Sugar We're Going Down tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's
we've been
great.
Playing that. It's been going
they're
over.
Such good guys.
Yeah.
And I remember they made a home video that they did, and then they got signed to the record company. The record company says, nah, you got to spend $60,000 to make a real video.
Of course, always.
And the first video was so cool because it was their video. And it didn't have all that, you know.
Yeah.
The song is same.
Right. Yeah. The song is the same.
But, you know, they had to pay for it. It's like you think, oh, I got this big record deal.
Right. Now I'm
And we're making these expensive videos.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute. We're not making any money on these tours.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're paying for it, dude.
You're paying for everything. Yeah.
And you're doing it the right way. Yeah. You're doing it your way. Yeah. You're doing your own, your hands-on. So you're controlling your image. Yeah. And everything. That's so cool.
Yeah. And when we do, you know, hopefully, you know, if we do sign with another record label, it'll be a really good partnership where we're working together, making sure that everything's happening the right way and for the right reason.
Are there any A&R people left anymore that go out and like try to find?
There are. Yeah. It's I think it's hard to find the good ones, though. There's a lot still out there that think they're good A&Rs and they really don't know what they're doing, but there still are some good ones out there that really know what they're doing and try to find, you know, really talented people. And I think a lot of new A&Rs are trying to capitalize on social media too much.
It's so focused around social
media. It's really focused on social media. And that stuff just doesn't really translate the way you think it would.
No. Look at you guys. You're playing out the beach.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No,
what was your social media like back then?
Yeah.
100 million followers?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So it's crazy.
It doesn't mean anything. And a lot of social media is fake.
Right.
Where, you know, like I get all the time, like I like our fans are our fans.
Right.
You know, but they'll say, you know, we'll increase you by 30,000, like for money.
Right. Yeah.
But who wants those fans?
No. They're not real. You need to have organic fans. And so that's where, like, I mean, a lot of these people that have millions of followers can't go and sell tickets or get people to a concert or anything.
Their show is on social media. It's not exclusive.
And that's totally okay. That's like if that's what they do, that's the thing. But I think a lot of these new A&Rs think that it's going to translate to streaming numbers or, you know, record sales or things like that.
And then they'll just pour money into these projects and give these like $10 million advances for these Instagram models or whatever. And then the records come out sounding overly produced and too generic.
Not even great writing.
With a committee.
Right.
Everything's a committee. Oh, we're going to focus group the song. The lyrics, and you know, when you
were
moving around.
And then there's just no identity. Right. Yeah. And then no one. The music is such a reflection of like sincerity and authenticity. And if that vibration isn't there and it's, like you said, this committee organized production, then that sincerity doesn't translate and then people just don't buy it.
Yeah. And on the other side of that, it's like if you do get a good team and a good A&R and like the money pushed behind it, that energy all focused in the right way on a something that feels organic and true, then it's magic. And that's where I think you see the big stars come out and like magic moments happen in that. So yeah, we're trying to find, you know, the right people to partner up with who are in it for the long haul, aren't trying to just get a quick cash grab, and are ready to like, you know, focus
if you got a good record company, they're there. Okay, maybe a couple of albums, you know, there are many stars.
Yeah.
that have done music.
Yep.
And their first album flopped.
Right.
Their second one didn't do that good.
Yeah.
But the third or fourth one
just
may have been the one.
They go, yeah.
Because they're developing their sound.
Exactly.
You know?
And, yeah. What's that country artist who's like married to Gwen Stefani?
Oh, Blake Shelton.
Yeah. He didn't blow up until his sixth studio album.
Yeah. That happens for a lot of people. And yeah. I think it happens a lot when you either start independent and you do, albums on your own where you figure out your sound, if you can record yourself and all that, and then you sign to a record label, or, you find a label who really believes in you and will go for the long haul.
Yeah.
And do, like you're saying, four albums to like really develop that sound.
Well, they're there for you versus exactly. trying to make money off you and drop you.
The deals we've seen like thrown our way, like, oh, we're so interested, and then they'll lay out the deal and it's like,
yeah, they just like
it's like a slap in the face.
It really is. It's laughable, and it's like,
you're better on your own.
Yeah, we might as well just do it ourselves. And
it's
it's
also like, what really can you offer us that we one can't get ourselves, or like grow ourselves,
yeah.
or do ourselves? Like, really, what?
Yeah,
we're doing all the production. We have grade A equipment and engineers ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, what else can you provide?
Well, that's what the record company used to do.
Yeah.
Before everybody had a studio in their house.
Exactly. Yeah. And now it's like you can do it yourself. And so for me, it's the big thing is, marketing and the money to really push your stuff out to the masses and get you out there more.
Tour and make your own
money
and capital money that way and then run your own business, then it's like.
Exactly.
Which is what we're doing now.
And then, yeah.
You're on the right track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if we could find that idealistic partnership that we've been looking for, which is probably around the corner somewhere, then that'll be great.
Yeah. But if not, we're still cruising and doing it ourselves.
You want to do some collaboration with other artists?
100%. Yeah.
Anybody you're ready to.
Let's see.
Travis Barker.
Oh, Travis Barker.
Having him really drum cool. on a song for us would be sick.
Because we don't like have a drummer in the band. We're just up front and we hire a drummer on.
Collab.
I think
yeah,
be
for
really
like
cool.
an album or an EP or something with him would be
yeah, he's
perfect.
Great. We shot
fit.
Them Blink 182 at Tweeter Center in
really
yeah
nice.
Suburbs Chicago for MTV.
Oh hell yeah.
I mean, I hate MTV.
Yeah.
But they're like our competition. But they hired us. We did the first HD concert with them.
Okay.
And MTV goes, well, they got to say happy birthday for our 20th. And I guess they weren't excited about that. And it's amazing how I go in as JBTV and I had a different attitude.
Yeah.
When we went in as helping MTV, it was like, a whole different attitude.
Really?
Like, you're the corporate and, it's like Woodstock 99, the way they were treated there,
I've heard that festival was like a total shit show. Yeah. Porter potties on fire. But what? Was it Deftones that like played in the rain and they had that iconic mud mosh pit?
That looked pretty
good. Honestly, when I saw Red Hot Chili Peppers perform and Flea was butt ass naked and they were playing Giveaway, I was probably like
rock
7 years old or something. I saw it on the TV. My mom was vacuuming and I was just like, what is this? Like, they're just letting their freak flags fly right now. Like, I want in on this. What is this rock and roll shit? Yeah. And Woodstock 99 was definitely a pivotal, like,
but MTV was there shooting that. And, it just shows you though, how things change.
Yes.
And stuff. Absolutely. It's a shame that a music network doesn't play music.
Oh God. Yeah.
Now
it's just, what's that show? They had that
like,
show.
Like cancel that. Cancel that show. Scrub that whole program.
It's like all the time.
It's all the time. That's the only thing they have on there. And then
they
like
have
some crappy
like MTV where they show like stupid
it's literally
stuff.
Just ridiculous.
And then they have like MTV like music branch on like sub channels where they
I used to like 120 Minutes with Matt Pinfield when he did it.
Yeah.
And they were playing and discovering music.
Yeah. Right.
Because all those people used to be radio people.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they decided like, oh, we need good looking, like
the turn
people
to the fast food fashion show type of thing.
And that'll read the teleprompter,
Right. Exactly.
Coming up here on TRL.
Yeah.
Emblem 3.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And then they just play a little snippet of your music.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, like, we got to play the whole thing. But anyhow, enough of that.
Yeah,
this is JBTV.
JBTV.
37 years of great music, great artists throughout all of it. I've had such an honor to be interviewing great bands like you guys.
Thank you so much.
And you have such a future ahead of you. And you're going to write a few new songs, right?
Absolutely.
From this interview already.
Oh, yeah, bro.
You're going to tape shows. I inspired you to tape live shows and have a live.
Hey, we're going
to
hijack a radio station.
Oh, that could be the video.
Yeah, we'll jump in here and take over.
And, you know, it's funny. The station should be, like, automated.
Right, right, yeah.
So you come in, go, like, where is everybody?
Yeah, it's just, there's this all
well,
robots.
It's all on this computer.
Yeah, the computer's taking over, yeah. It's like how the radio.
And you come in, put your console down, put your microphones.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That'd be awesome.
We're taking over. And do it for the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this has been great having you guys here. It's been such a pleasure. You're such great talents. You're going places. I mean, you've already been places. But, I mean, you really have a career ahead of you. And it's so great that your parents are in the music and everything. It's, you know, families that do music together stay together. Yeah. Yeah. And if they have an argument, they'll just make a song out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you make a song for the makeup time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, thank you so much for having us. This has been great.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
A pleasure. So Emblem 3 on this edition of JBTV from the heart of the Windy City, downtown Chicago. I'm Jerry Bryant saying bye-bye, stay high. And, but of course, keep on rocking and rolling with the best music, the best bands that are always right here on JBTV.
There you go, the JBTV podcast, where we bring you the best music, the best interviews, and it's all unscripted and totally unrehearsed. Follow us on all the social media and spread the word. This is JBTV Music Television, the JBTV podcast. JBTV.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.